Blessed Holy Spirit, our Maker and our Comforter,
we sinful creatures confess to you that we have often resisted your call and aggrieved you by our sin. Above all,
thank you. O God, on this day you once taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day, by the same Spirit, to have a right understanding in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the Feast of Pentecost is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the 11th chapter. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from over there, the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over all the face of the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the book of Acts, the second chapter. When the day of Pentecost arrived, the disciples were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, a multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and all the parts of Libya belong to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own language the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking them said, "They're just filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall all prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
What is the third article of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean?
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the truth.
the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, especially verse 26 from the Gospel reading, Jesus said, "The Helper, the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." This is our text. Martin Luther sometimes accused his opponents of having another spirit or a different spirit. Now, he wasn't known for being kind and gentle in the way that he would speak of others or write about them. And this is a serious accusation because there's only one Holy Spirit. To have a different spirit would mean that they do not have the Holy Spirit. The one whom we confess in the Nicene Creed to be the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, and who spoke by the prophets. Saying that someone has another spirit means that they aren't following the true God, and they aren't listening to him, at least not in every way. It means that they've been led astray by a lying or deceitful spirit. But who would do such a thing? You know, the devil. He would do that. Of course he would do that. He did it with Adam and Eve, and he's continued to do it ever since. Consider what he did with Adam and Eve. He convinced them to abandon the word of God. God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. But the devil taught them to believe a lie instead. And he made it sound super spiritual. Hey, Adam, Eve, you will be like God. Just forget all the things that God had said and listen to what I say. And so they did. They didn't listen to the Lord and giver of life. The Holy Spirit didn't flow through them and move them to act in a way in keeping with God's word. But they listened and they followed the ruler of this world, the bringer of death. And you know how things unraveled from there. Next thing you know, they're hiding from God in the Garden of Eden. They're cowering in shame and guilt and fear. They're blaming each other. And that's certainly a different spirit. So what's the proof of whether something comes from the Holy Spirit or from a different spirit? It's important that we know this distinction. It all depends on the Word of God. The Holy Spirit speaks through God's Word, and God's Word delivers the Holy Spirit. I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit speaks through God's Word, and God's Word delivers the Holy Spirit. We believe that all Scripture is inspired, it is inspirited, it is the breath, full of the breath and life of God. The Word and the Spirit go hand in hand. But if you do not have the Word, then you do not have the Spirit either. So if someone claims to have the Spirit, or even if they claim to have a word from God, but they can't demonstrate it from the Bible, if they cannot show you the text, then it's a different spirit. We can't simply come with our own ideas and say that such and such is from God. You know, there are people who do this. They have major television programs and networks and radio followings and published books in the Christian market, but all they're doing is they're bringing their own ideas and their own thoughts, and they're claiming that it comes from God. And it's also true that we cannot stand as judge over Scripture or the spoken word. This is another danger. People who claim to be Christians but then take the Word of God and explain it or stretch it to fit their own desires. That doesn't come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't originate from us. He doesn't come from us. The Holy Spirit comes to us. He comes from the Father and the Son to us through the Word and the sacraments. If we want the Spirit to be in our lives, if we want the Spirit to fill us, we don't have to be looking for something amazing out there. All we need to do is open the Word of God and believe that this is the very Word that the Spirit breathes life into and then breathes life into us. We don't judge the Scriptures. The Scriptures judge us. We don't own the Spirit. The Spirit comes to fill us. And that's what concerned Luther so deeply about some of the teachers and churches of his day, from the Anabaptists on the one hand to the Romanists on the other. The way he saw it, they claimed the Spirit, but then they departed from the Word, teaching things that were above the Word or contrary to the Word of God. We should be on our guard as well, so that we do not get taken in by a different spirit. Our Lutheran confessions make this beautiful statement. They say, God does not wish to deal with us otherwise than through the spoken word and the sacraments. That's why our life together here, Sunday after Sunday, is so important and central for us, because this is where God comes to us in his word and holy sacraments, and this is how he wishes to deal with us. And this is where the Spirit is present through these means. We see a different spirit at work in many places. But if you consider especially our first reading today from Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel, you see a different spirit all over the place. Just think about what that project involved. God had told Adam and Eve in the beginning, and Adam and Eve's descendants, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Spread out. Look beyond yourselves. Enjoy and rejoice in this creation that God has made. But when you get to Genesis chapter 11, they double down on going inward and upward. What do I mean by going inward? By going inward, I mean that they wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to become great. They wanted to establish an eternal legacy. In a way, they were trying, you might say, to build themselves. And they turned upward. Upward because they were building to the heavens, attempting to link themselves with God, attempting to make their own path and connection to God. They wanted to be like God again. And that was the spirit at work, not the Holy Spirit there, but the spirit of the evil one, of Satan himself. That spirit was working to drive them away from the Lord God and from his word, even to the point of thrusting themselves above God, as if they could overcome him. The spirit at work, turning inward and upward against God. What spirit or spirits do we see at work in our own time and in our own place and in our own lives? Do we see the Holy Spirit at work? God's word rich in our lives, his love and his mercy filling us and motivating us? Or do we find ourselves too busy for his word, closed perhaps to his word, unwilling to hear it and thinking that we know better? Or when we come across God's word, something perhaps that troubles us, do we seek to find a way to evade that word or to correct it or to explain it away? When there's a word of God that's poking at us, telling us that what we're doing isn't right, do we simply dismiss it and think that we're okay? Do we justify our actions by claiming that they're spiritual actions and that we are led by the Spirit? But you must find it in the Word. Do we put other voices and other words above His? The question perhaps today is, what word do we keep? Are we keeping our own word, our own counsel? Are we keeping the word and counsel of others? Or are we keeping the word and the counsel and counselor of Jesus? Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Such a beautiful promise. Make our home with him. "But whoever does not love me," he says, "does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." You know, in all of our hymns and our readings today, so many of them are prayers to the Holy Spirit, saying, "Come and fill us, come and be at work in us." And those are beautiful and lovely prayers, and we should pray them. But at the same time, we should open the word. We should read it, mark it, learn it, memorize it, swim in it, and take it to heart, because that's how the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus had told the disciples to wait for the promise of the Father. I always think one of the most challenging commands that the Scriptures give is the command to wait. We want to do, we want to be active. We want to be part of our own salvation and our own works, and God sometimes simply says, wait. For the apostles, it was 10 days of waiting. I wonder if they ever said on day 7, you know, "We'll go another 3 days, and then that's it. Time to go fishing again." "You will receive power," Jesus told them, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that's exactly what happened. 50 days after Easter, 10 days after the Ascension, the Holy Spirit came. He descended on the gathered apostles like a mighty rushing wind coming down from heaven. And he empowered them to bear witness to Jesus. What did the apostles begin doing when the Holy Spirit came? They began speaking. Speaking not about themselves, not about their own thoughts or their own ideas. They began speaking the mighty works of God to the people around them in the various languages that they knew. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke of Jesus. He was the one on their lips and on their minds and on their hearts. And this is what Jesus had promised. He said, the Helper, the Paraclete, or Comforter, as we sometimes call him, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Son ascends to heaven, and the Spirit descends from heaven. For what purpose? To fill the earth with the knowledge of the Lord. To make known the salvation of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell with us and to teach us and to bring to remembrance the things that Jesus has done. Everything he's done. With the apostles, they were the eyewitnesses. And the Holy Spirit filled them to speak these words to others. For us, the Holy Spirit inspired those same apostles to write it down. And that's what we have in the scriptures. Everything that we need to know about what Jesus has said and done for us and for the world. And through that word, the Holy Spirit comes to deliver his gifts, to bring the forgiveness won by Jesus to you and me, to drive away the other spirits, the false and lying spirits from us, to make known the truth, to sanctify us and make us holy, and to give us peace. Jesus did what he was commanded. He died, he rose, and he ascended. And now he pours out this Spirit, this life-giving and forgiving Spirit on the church. And notice how different this is than the building of the Tower of Babel. The Holy Spirit doesn't turn inward and upward, but he comes downward and outward. The Holy Spirit doesn't draw attention to our own holiness. He always draws attention to Jesus. You know, one way to discern which spirit it is, when you hear someone who's speaking about the Christian faith, ask whether they're speaking about themselves or about Jesus. And that will kind of tell you everything you need to know. Because the Holy Spirit is always drawing attention to Jesus. That's another thing that concerns me about some of the various groups in Christianity, especially the ones that are known as the charismatic movement. It often seems, not always, but often seems to me that they are looking purely inward and to something that is personal. They speak about the speaking in tongues as a particular gift that a Christian gets, but that gift doesn't edify or benefit anyone else. Rather than opening outward, it's a turn and a look inward. We don't need a spirit that turns us inward. We already spend way too much time looking at ourselves and thinking about ourselves. We need a spirit to pull us out, to pull us out of ourselves and draw us both to Christ and to our neighbor. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes to give Christ to us and then to give our neighbors to us as well. It is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone who is able to free us, and I do mean us, from narcissism and self-absorption. And I use those words intentionally. If I had a dollar for every time someone mentioned narcissism to me in the last 5 or 6 years, Well, I wouldn't be super rich, but I'd be a little richer than I am now. And you know, the thing is, every time I hear that word used, it's never someone coming to me and saying, "Pastor, I'm concerned that I'm a narcissist." It's always, "Pastor, you know, this other person in my life, I think I figured it out. I know what they are." And yes, it's true, there is a clinical diagnosis of narcissism that some people do have. But I think we ought to each look at ourselves and see the way that we are naturally bent and turned inward, and then take our eyes off ourselves and simply hear that word flowing to us and through us and in us and for us, that word that comes from the Spirit that brings the forgiveness we so desperately need. The Holy Spirit comes down and goes out. Before Babel, it was be fruitful and fill the earth. And then in Acts, it was the mighty works of God being proclaimed in various languages. The Holy Spirit is a builder, not a builder of tower out of bricks, but building a temple for God out of souls. And each one of us is a living stone of that temple. And today, again, the Holy Spirit is coming to you through the Word and through these sacraments, and He is forming and shaping you to be that living stone, and He is building you into the temple, and He is using you for the kingdom of God. And that is the Holy Spirit at work. And so we pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come to us through the Word and the sacraments. Open our ears that we may hear your word. Open our hearts that we would be filled with your life. Open our eyes that we may see Jesus and see our neighbors. And turn us outward and not inward. Renew us and fill us with life. Turn husbands toward wives and wives toward husbands and parents toward children and children toward parents. And those who are single toward their friends and neighbors, and their friends and neighbors toward them, turn us toward each other with that same forgiveness and that same life and that same peace. For that is what the Holy Spirit brings from Jesus. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Not a peace that is only external, but a peace that begins inside and flows out like a river of living water. Let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus said, neither let them be afraid. For I ascend to the Father, and when I ascend to the Father, I send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit whom He sends to you, to me, to us, again this day, and will continue to send until the day when He comes again in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For gladness in the Holy Spirit, who through his church fills the world with everything Christ Jesus has spoken and done, and that our hearts would neither be troubled nor afraid, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Matthew, our synod president, Robert, our district president, Paul, our circuit visitor, Ed, serving in Troy, and our pastor, that as they proclaim God's word, his Spirit may be at work to teach us all things and bring to remembrance all the Son has said to us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our New England district, as we meet in convention, that the Lord would grant unity in his word and joy in his work. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our leaders, especially our president, governor, Congress, legislature, and all judges and magistrates, that they would be given a relentless pursuit of just laws for the common good of all, with a heart of mercy for the weak and vulnerable. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Caleb, upon his graduation, that the Holy Spirit would guide him in the truth, which is Jesus. Bless him in his upcoming postgraduate year and provide him with good friends, godly relationships, and growth. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Rachel and Rachel and the babies they carry, for health and protection, strength and energy, and safety when the day of labor and delivery comes, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the comfort of the Holy Spirit in a dark world, and that wounds would be soothed and healed, broken families restored, the depressed uplifted, the poor aided, and all cries answered. Especially for Tamis as she undergoes surgery, John in his continued health struggles, Dale suffering illness, John, Lori, and Evan, strength and faith in the midst of things we cannot understand, Jim, for recovery as he is hospitalized, for Pam as she lies in great weakness, and her family with whatever decisions they must face, as well as for Bill, Blair, Bobby and Carol, Katie, Kate, Rick and Teresa, and Verity, let us pray to the Lord. For our homebound, Donna, Anita, Georgia in the transition to respite care, Barbara, Ruth, Ano, who is in his last days, Joan, Edith, Jeanette, and Andrea, that our Lord would keep them in his care and fill them with his good spirit. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
With thanksgiving for the Lord's care of Amara, especially for her good health and functioning kidneys, that the Lord would continue to be with her as she grows. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who commune, that the Holy Spirit would convict us of sin, of righteousness in Christ, and of the judgments of his holy word, sanctifying our hearts by the forgiveness of sins and making us fit partakers of Christ's holy body and precious blood. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For comfort for those who mourn and rest for those who labor, that our hearts may be raised up with the promise of the resurrection and the blessed reunion when we will stand before the Lord without fear and enjoy the promise of his perfect peace forevermore. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Almighty Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word, to rule and govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune, and defend us against every error, that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and, trusting firmly in your grace, obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Blessed be the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
For blessed is the shadow of his wings.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth,
and the earth was formless and empty.
And the Spirit of God hovered on the face of the deep.
You sent forth your Spirit, and they were created.
The Spirit of the Lord has made me. The breath of the Almighty has given me life.
We rebelled against him and grieved his Holy Spirit.
We became like a withered tree, like a garden where there is no water.
Blessed be the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
For blessed is the shadow of his wings. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
It is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.
For Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by being cursed for us,
so that through faith we would receive the promised Spirit.
Come to him, whoever is thirsty, drink.
Rivers of living water will flow out of your heart.
He has sent another Comforter to be with us forever.
We will come to you like spring rain, like morning dew.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins may be forgiven.
And you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Blessed be the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
For blessed is the shadow of his wings. The Spirit is poured out upon us once more from on high.
The desert becomes a garden, and the barren field a forest.
He pours water on the thirsty, and streams of water on the dry ground.
He pours out his Spirit on our children.
They will grow like grass beside the streams, like poplar trees beside a river.
For the promise is to us and to our children.
Blessed be the Lord, the Holy Ghost.
For blessed is the shadow of his wings. The Lord be with you. Thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right that we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this, the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh,
it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 143, starting at the first verse. "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on a level. Hear my prayer, O God, your ear in my plea for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me. In your righteousness, enter not into judgment with your servant. For no one is living as righteous as before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on you all day. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me known the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies. O Lord, I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. for in righteousness bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let the good Spirit lead me on level ground.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Dear Comforter, by whom our Savior was conceived in human flesh and blood, we thank you that now, with his flesh and blood, you have given us pardon and peace. Blessed Spirit, strengthen us through this holy food in faith toward you and in deep love for one another, and rule our hearts and minds with power to serve you to the salvation of souls, to the Father's glory, and to the praise of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit.